manifestation introductory evening track three after the exercise. I have zero intention of holding back during these trainings. I will bring in every tool I have, I know, I've learned, or that I can find. They're not always dignified on my part, but they are all there for your benefit. Everything from sounds to word choices to the energetic frequency I run in the room to individually adjusting your energies while I'm working with you. I'll be as sneaky as I need to be to change your mind permanently. Not limitedly. It's not like the amount of change we affect in 6 or 11 weeks, or actually run across 14 weeks. It's not like the amount of change we can affect in 14 weeks, that's as much as you get. Now, lots of you have done work with me before. You know that each class is the beginning of what the class does. The rest of it continues. So, anything from that exercise that you'd like to share, any part of it that surprised you, anybody run into any attitude with their parts when they first marched out into their hands? Comments, things you'd like to share, things you noticed, things you experienced. Anybody wish the nap could have run about another 20 minutes? Yes, please.
Yeah, it was really interesting. When you first said that, I felt things marching down the left hand. I actually tried to have them go down the other hand to see, and they didn't want to, but like one remained. There was actually, it was interesting, like one palm was very light and one was darker, except for this one spot.
Uh-huh.
But it was interesting, the story really like actually cooperated. I mean, they fit together beautifully.
Yes.
And support. It was, yeah, I found it very fascinating.
Story cooperated and they fit together beautifully.
Yeah.
Well done.
It was all supportive.
What were their names, the two hands worth?
Have and to be.
Have and to be. Nice. Nice. I was really impressed with mine of just good sense and we're there for you. I thought those were really fabulously sneaky.
And all were kind of words that came to me, but then I had one image.
Right.
And that image matched with this side.
Nice. Yes, you had words that came to you, and then it dropped all the way down to image. Mm-hmm. It went even more core than that. Fabulous. Well done. Mm-hmm. Nice. Thank you. Congratulations. What else? Yes, please.
This one morning exercise was, I want to say, kind of extraordinary. It was very interesting. I felt like I just had a, intellectually, I thought I understood where a lot of these blocks were coming from. And just, this, I don't even know how to put words to it. Just there was a certain sort of clarity about what was going on that just felt like, whoa.
Perfect. Yeah. Intellectually, I kind of understood where these blocks were coming from, but now I'm having trouble with words. There was just a clarity, and I just felt, oh, perfect. We went from intellect to I just felt. Exactly. Well done. And felt it with clarity. Nicely done. Well done. Good for you. Good catch. Any other things? What else? Yes, please. Perfect. Went away, came back for a moment. I was talking about fear. Oh, wonder where that came from. Yeah, it was the next piece up. So you came back in time to address your fear. You addressed both hands. You went away, came back to address the fear, went away, and it was really good. Yeah. And from some far distance, she looketh upon it and saith, it was good. I like it. Cool. Great. Thanks. Any other parts? Yes, please.
Tone was interesting. What is the tone?
When I shift into toning and doing tones, the best description I can give of it is that gets all of my intellect, it gets all of my intellect, gets all of my intellect, all of my mind, and all of my consciousness out of the way. And lets my whole body be an energetic antenna broadcasting a frequency. And people will find that their minds will play with the tone, but that it's a lot of just experiencing the frequency that's being broadcast at that point. It makes my whole body into an antenna broadcasting frequencies. And then they shift, they, guidance, I, my whim, shifts the tone according to what we needed to do. In that particular case, they were reinforcing where people had gotten to in the exercise, and then they were sort of setting that frequency for everybody. So they get used different ways. Sometimes tones will show up to elevate people into a frequency. It's not unusual at all for tones to show up in my work to set something that we've just done so that there's an energetic wave that rolls right behind it that's beyond the kin of that conscious mind part. You said it was interesting. What was interesting to you about them? I mean, did they feel interesting? Did they sound interesting? Did it just seem bizarre? Yeah, it just seems like it went someplace. Yeah, yeah, perfect. You got it. You got it. And that was short.
A release, maybe.
A release, uh-huh. Yeah, cool, good, thank you. And that was short. There will probably be more toning in this training, I expect, because it's a real useful tool from my tool bag. It's not dignified, but it's useful. On my side of it. I mean, it seems dignified out there. In here, it just feels weird. And my brain is screaming, they're going to think you're crazy. This is bizarre, you know. Plus some vague commentary on the different use of my vocal cords now as compared to when they were fully trained and I was skilled with them in singing. And it's like, eh, what's that sound? That's not right. Particularly when it's doing dual tones right there where it's got a crack in the middle. No singing coach I ever worked with would have encouraged that. Any other parts? Yes, please.
Okay, so I felt when you slammed me with energy, I was coming forward from the past, and I know you try to get my attention sometimes, and it slammed big right away, and I started to go forward, and I thought, you know, I'm splitting headache right here. It was almost like, and then you said something about if you feel a bulb stop, and so I slowed down and tried to, and then it sort of went away a little, and I noticed the faster I went forward, the more it kept coming back, but the slam was more heavy.
I didn't slam you to get your attention. I just made a small adjustment.
It was huge in here, which
is fine. Good, great, thanks. So did you feel like you were flying forward and integrating instantaneously?
Yes. Almost
cool.
Too fast, and then it was like
we only wanted as fast as you possibly could, soak it all in and integrate it instantaneously. Cool, great, thanks. Thanks, Angie. Yes, please.
So in order for me to grow and expand, I must put more of my energy out there. And in putting it out there, you risk that energy being hurt. And therefore, in order to protect yourself, you hold back and limit your own growth. So,
you're right on track, keep going.
By having the tools to better deal with the consequences of putting your energy out there, you can expand and grow and handle what may impact that energy.
Yes, and. One of the challenges we've had historically, most of us, is because we were energy sensitive and because we've had some interesting training in other lifetimes, there was a real tendency for us to put our energy out there by literally taking it out of our center and effectively, energetically holding ourselves in front of ourselves. Reaching. You know, and I don't care how much bodybuilding I've done, if you hand me a large weight and then tell me to hold it as far in front of me as I can hold it, that's going to be a stressful position and it's not going to balance well. In fact, in some cases, what we've done when we're putting our energy out there is we're actually flowing it into other or others in an attempt to lift them so that they'll then decide that we're okay. Wow, they've lifted me. They must be wonderful. I'll allow them to be in my presence. Again, we're extended way out there with nothing left in the container, us. It's all extended out there. And so if for whatever reasons within them, they run into, let's just say, their own blockage. It might have nothing to do with us. But all of a sudden, that stops that energy flow. We're no longer a completed circuit. You know, if somehow between, you know, I plug in one half of the lamp's plug into the wall socket, but I take the other half of the lamp's plug into something else before it goes in the socket, if the something else blows a fuse, the lamp's not going to light up anymore. And if the lamp bases its sense of itself on whether it's lighting up or not, that feels like it must have been desperately hurt because it just went out completely. It lost its light totally. And then we have to gradually rebuild a sense of building energy inside ourselves again until we can build enough energy inside ourselves again to be a completed circuit in ourselves with no ink. On the other hand, if instead putting that energy out there becomes increasing the amount of energy flow we have flowing up through us, turning up our dimmer, increasing the energy flow flowing up through us, and the putting energy out there becomes, from increasing that energy flow in us, we're expanding the energy field around us. The same way that if I've got a light bulb on a dimmer and I measure, you know, and I set a book every 5 feet away from the light bulb. If I'm barely running any electricity through the light bulb at all, I can barely read the closest book, and none of the other books are illuminated at all. But if I turn that dimmer way up on the light bulb, all of a sudden I could have a book that's 15 or 20 feet across the room away from that light bulb, and I can read it easily. Well, that is still putting that light out there, but it's not like I took that little light bulb on fragile little wires and moved it closer to each book to see whether or not the book would approve. It's kicking more flow through me so that I am an expanded field, transparent to whatever broadcast is coming from the people around me. Because I'm allowing them to be transparent to my energy so that my energy passes right through them the same way you guys are inside my energy field. You probably gradually notice that as you get here, but certainly at the moment, recognize. Look at this part. All of y'all are really intuitively sensitive. You're used to being sensitive to strangers in a room. Notice what this room full of strangers feels like. And, you know, to everybody, there's some strangers in here. I would suspect most of you noticed that you had no awareness of strangers right now, and that you usually do, and that it felt like a really wide open space right now, and that it usually doesn't, and that you felt just completely relaxed and wide open and nothing was pushing on you, and there's usually stuff pushing on you, particularly in a room of, you know, 20 other strangers. You're inside my energy field. My energy field is somewhere in that office building next door and somewhere past the driveway over here, and it's way up above and down below the floor. You're inside of it. Created an expanded field. Your fields have responded to that by also expanding. So you're feeling a lot of space inside right now, right? Like, I mean, for me, when I first started these studies, for me to have this kind of an experience, I would have had to have gone hiking up into the hills and be someplace where there weren't but 20 human beings within a quarter of a mile of me, or a half or a mile, for me to expand out this much. Huge difference when I learned to expand through everything around me and let everything around me pass through me. That does not avoid hurt feelings. I still get emotional buttons. I still get my buttons pushed. But my first response, as soon as I get sane, when my buttons get pushed, I know sometimes that's minutes later and sometimes that's weeks, is to come back again to kicking my light open, being my expanded light, and moving forward that way. Turns out that I could never clamp down and close off hard enough in a way that would keep me from getting hurt, because clamping down hurt and closing off hurt, And then I wanted to interact, and so the moment I interacted, I couldn't clamp down as much, and then that hurt. Whereas when I expand my light bigger and bigger, one way to put it would be, if I'm half a gallon of my light and somebody comes along with 6 pints of ugly, 6 pints of ugly versus my half a gallon is a really bad dilution. But if I'm 2,000 gallons of my light and somebody comes along with 6 pints of ugly, 6 pints of ugly dilutes pretty easily. Did that work, or is that just my engineer brain gone completely south? If I'm a little tiny amount of me and one puts in one drop of another color, it totally changes my color. If I'm a huge amount of me and I get hit with a drop of another color, it's just another color. But my brain says, both the I'm there for you and the just good sense, both say, oh, in my case, the more not noticed you see, you stay, the more not seen you stay, then the less trouble you're going to go into. I mean, there's a deep part of me that has some past life memories that's very affiliated with, some of y'all know the Chinese curse, which was may you live in interesting times and draw the attention of important people. Mm-hmm. There's parts of me that have those memories, and it keeps going, whoa, if you start to be too big a light, they're going to do evil things to you again. And, you know, the funny part of that is, even if they are going to do evil things to me again, and the truth is, you know, with reality TV, drawn and quartered in the square would hardly catch any attention anymore, unless you could get pay-per-view on it. But at the same time, there's a piece of me that could go, you know what, I've been drawn and quartered in the square, and I died. Been there, done that, you know, and you don't need a t-shirt. Wouldn't fit anymore. There's no thing to be afraid of that you haven't already done. And your spirit survived it. Probably wasn't comfortable, or maybe it was interesting. If any of you have not read the book Illusions by Richard Bach, I highly recommend it, but I'll warn you, it's not cheerful in every part of it. So putting me out there in this case is being that whole bigger creature that that inner part of me always knew I was, and that outer part of me always wondered why nobody else noticed. Well, it's not up to them to notice. And they might, or they might not. But it's cranking all that light out there, not based on a, if I do this, then that should happen, but cranking all that light out there because I'm cranking all that light out there to see what happens. It's a spiritual adventure. I'm cranking all of that light out there to find out who I am when my lights are turned on. Not because, well, then there better be a partner or a beloved or, you know, different paint in my bedroom. I don't know. No, it's to find out who I am when I am me. Because that innermost part of me has always known I was me. It's always been a little confused, waiting for somebody else to identify me so that they could say I was me, and then I'd have permission to be me. It's been in there. It's been knocking on that door inside of you, saying, whoa, beyond those two handfuls in my fear, there's a lot more. I mean, quite frankly, none of the advertising about this evening had that much depth in it. Some of you are here because you know my work. Some of you are here because out of nowhere, some place that you ran into an ad for it, whether it was an email or on the air or whatever, a piece of you went, well, let's go check that out. Some part of you put you here. And it didn't put you here because the workshop promised that after you get done with this, you'll be a lot less than you used to be. After you get done with this, we can guarantee that that inner part that's been saying, you know, you've really been way more than you should be, we'll make you smaller, we'll successfully make you that smaller that your core intuition told you you should be. Nope. It's been that core gut feel intuitive part of you. See, what goes on is our intuitive gives us a signal of where we're headed. Our mind decides what that should look like, and then it looks around us and says, this doesn't look like that, and then says, we're wrong, we've blown it, we're never going to get there, don't bother. Or it says, we need to do something that would make us do that. No, it's our intuitive says this is where we're already headed. And so when it draws us to something, even if all you do with this is tonight's work and you work with tonight's work, fabulous. It draws us to the places that would move us toward where our spiritual self is growing already. Did I get anywhere near your question? Perfect. Did I get anywhere near making that look different?
This was a helpful visual.
Good. Cool.
It's the going back that I'm struggling with, but that's the
It's not a going back.
No, it's the energy that they're sending back.
Well, in truth, the other piece of that visual is? Sometimes I think I have like a bandolier of colors. Yeah. The Mexican marker bandito. The truth is, everybody tends to match the most consistently held energy in the space. Not the strongest, the most consistently held. Which is why most places, if you got like a cube farm, is that what they're called now? I don't know, whatever, whole room of cubicles. You know, a big, large room full of cubicles. And you install one really grumpy person, you can watch the texture of the whole place change till it all matches the grumpy. It's not because grumpy's stronger than positive, it's because grumpy is better maintained. You know, you go up to somebody in a great mood, they're in a great mood, and you say, you know, I know you just washed your car yesterday and it just clouded up and the birds just crapped all over your car. And somebody in a great mood, there's a good chance you could get them to falter. But you go to somebody that's really good grump, and you say, I know that you're in a bad mood, but God, I just looked at the weather. It's going to be absolutely fabulous tomorrow. And they can come back with, yeah, that figures. I scheduled my picnic today. It was last weekend. That figures it'd be fabulous tomorrow. It's going to be fabulous tomorrow. I know, but I'll wash my car and then you'll see it'll rain. They're good. You know, they've got that om domne domne gonna suck you'll see thing going perfectly where they don't let go. You know, it's a solid mantra. It's not that grumpy is more powerful. It's grumpy is usually more consistently held. So let's say we've got people with stuff. The truth is, everybody tends to match the most consistently held energy in the space. That's why people will travel miles and miles and miles to go sit in a room with a guru while the guru meditates. Guru may not even say anything. Or they may not even say anything in a language you speak. I got to tell you, you go hang out in a room where a master teacher is meditating, it's just bliss city. It doesn't matter. I had one teacher I studied with, and it's like I would get into these blissful states because sometimes he would do us a favor of just chanting. Just going into his own chant and meditating, it'd be this amazing blissful state, and then he'd get into this part of him that thought he needed to teach us something. And so he'd get busy talking, and it's like, just shut up and meditate. Which you couldn't say out loud, of course. I couldn't say out loud, of course. People tried, he couldn't hear it. Because it wasn't nearly the same energy when he was gotten in his brain and he tried to teach. But boy, just soak in it. Ram Dass, I heard it, saw him speak one time, and he walked out and he just sat in front of the room and he did these waves of energy through the room, and I am just blissing out. You could feel it. With my eyes closed, I'd know when he looked in our part of the room, when he looked in the other part of the room. You could just, not everyone could, but of course they could if they just took time to pay attention. Come to next week's workshop. That joke will make sense. next week, same time, same place, $15. Or if you look on the website, you can find a 2-for-1 coupon phrase. Scott will be manning the door. He'll know. Anyway, just waves of energy. And then he finally spoke after some great amount of time. He just said, wouldn't it be great if we got to the place where we could just sit and do that energy for a couple of hours and not say a word, and then afterwards everybody just get together and go, God, that was so great. And I'm thinking, we're there. You could do that. I could just sit in this for a couple of hours. Everybody tends to match the most consistently held energy in the space, which is why you can see the flavor of the manager of a restaurant through the whole restaurant. Doesn't matter what staff they hired, they'll all come into alignment with the manager if the manager's really consistent. Even if the manager is really consistent in a cruddy modality, they'll all come into alignment with it. Okay? Everybody tends to match the most consistently held energy in the space. This was an illustration that says that if you're encountering people that have crud in their brain and they're stuck, it'll roll right through you. But the real key of it is, when you maintain that energy space, everybody tends to match the most consistently held energy in the room. Not the most consistently held ink in the room. That's close enough. Everybody tends to match the most consistently held. Let's see if this will make a mess. Didn't help either. So it will draw them up. Rather than bending my energy out to try and push them up, which means if they don't get through their stuff, my circuitry's broken, I'm still lighting up brighter and brighter. It'll tend to draw them up toward that same level of light. It'll also tend to draw to me other people that already match that light. And I will warn you for one thing, people that absolutely do not want to match that light will have a tendency to move themselves away. Bummer. Wow, people that just want to stay miserable suddenly don't want to hang around me as much. Dang. Now, if it's your beloved, in most cases, what will happen with your beloved is they'll tend to elevate. It'll surface some stuff, but if you keep coming back to your light first and your argument second, well, it does ruin a really good argument, but if you keep coming back to your light first and your argument second, you keep finding where you connect as opposed to where you're different. Yes, please. Question, that even works with your mother, since they can't go away because they're on a leash, but they'll elevate. They'll tend to, particularly if you're not trying to make them, then they'll tend to, because everybody tends to match the most consistently held energy in the room. Mm-hmm. So you'll find places where they break through, where, you know, they're normal and it's going to be all, you'll see, sort of crumbles for a moment, and then they communicate, and then they like kind of have to pull back and hide. Or they just find that they hide that grumpy part when you're around? Bummer. Dang. Wow, you just never show me the grumpy part anymore. I'm so disappointed. It's just in businesses I've watched where people that totally could not align with where, or bluntly put, where I was taking the company, left. And the people that came in were in alignment with where the company was going. And that turns out to be a good thing. Because two of them were about to sink the whole company, and then they left. And then the new people that came in were not interested in sinking the company. They were new people. They were interested in having it like really fly, because when they were interviewed, the only ones that lit up were, well, were the ones that were matching what we were doing. Everybody tends to elevate, especially kids. Majorly so. Questions on that? I know the artistry is just beyond belief. Cool. Yes, please.
What is the
What's the purpose of coming back forward from the past with speed? Well, one, so I don't have to wait for you very long. That's the honest truth. But the other is, it doesn't take long. But the speed is completely constrained about as fast as you possibly can, soak it all in and integrate it. That's the phrasing every time. As fast as you can, soak it all in and integrate it. Because why would you want to do it any slower than that? It's all about soak it in and integrate it. If we let you take too long with it, your mind will wander off. And then you'll think you were asleep. Which a couple people in the room think they were asleep. Except that it's a pretty impressive ability to sleep and come back when I make no change in my voice at all and say, take a big breath. It's not like, ring-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling, take a big breath. Right now, come on back. Very little change in my tonality at all when I say, give your body a big breath. And move your toes. Which was really fun to watch. About a third or half of the room, when I thought, move your toes, take a big breath, was when they started inhaling and their feet were moving already. So by the time I said it, I was late. They were already doing that. And particularly the shoulders and arms, that was the next phrase. And people were already at shoulders and arms, another big breath. They were able to see where I was going. It's very fun. I love my work. Yes, please.
So I had some really good realizations in the meditation. I was trying to remember it all. But then I went totally right, I don't remember timeline at all. So when I sat up for the class, does that mean I'll be able to see the recording of this so I can go back and do what you said?
Question. She thought she was attending. She had some great realizations, and she was busy remembering realizations and not actually remembering the thing. One, you did the whole thing. Let me get that across to you. Even if you think you went away, it's not that you went away. You just went really deep. You just went really deep while you did it. You did the whole thing. Okay?